The Battle Over Bernanke.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. A residential deal that's down the drain in New York and some wastewater issues in Chicago. All that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about, 0.8%. The NASDAQ 0.5% higher right now. And the Dow is up 74 points at 10,247. Shares in Europe are mostly lower right now, under 1%. And Asian markets closed off today as well by about 0.5% overseas. The Senate could vote later this week on the future of Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. It looked like his reappointment was shaky. But this morning, the Obama administration and Senate leaders on both sides say they are confident that he's going to be confirmed. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist over at S&P Equity Research. Sam, good morning. He's joining us live from New York. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Doing fine.
All right. Give us an idea of how this Ben Bernanke vote is going to shake down over the next couple of days.
Well, I think certainly that he will be reconfirmed. I think also what congressional leaders are allowing some of their members to exhibit independence. This is a midterm election year, and I think when they go up for a reelection, they want to show their constituents that they are not swayed by either Wall Street or Washington.
So here we are with the markets up, Sam. We've got the S&P up almost 1% now, the Dow up 74 points, and we're looking at perhaps some barometers coming out this week, and Bernanke, that's stabilizing as well. I mean, are we seeing this stabilization going on?
Well, I think that we're going to be stabilizing today, but for the full week, we might end up mapping out the design on Charlie Brown's shirt, up, down, et cetera. One main thing is the State of the Union address on Wednesday, and we could find that it's an additional platform for populist programs.
So a State of the Union, of course, and so going forward this week and beyond, we have the fourth quarter GDP report coming out, some other barometers too. How are we looking? I mean, what are the trends looking like?
The trends are positive, but I think we're going to be moving at half speed. U.S. GDP is likely to show pretty strong growth in the fourth quarter of 2009, but I think as we proceed into 2010, we'll probably see the U.S. economy growing by about a 2.5% level, which is about half of what we normally experience in the beginning of an economic recovery.
Sam Stovall, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Over in New York City, an iconic Manhattan apartment complex is on the financial rocks. The Stuyvesant Town Peter Cooper Village Complex on the east side is going back to the bank. A big development company bought it during the real estate boom. And today we learned it defaulted. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live this morning. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So this is a really big apartment complex to default on, huh?
You know, I used to drive past this place with my parents when I was growing up, and I remember it just going on and on. There's more than 100 buildings, 11,000 units, originally built for World War II veterans and full of middle-class families living in rent-controlled apartments.
So what went wrong then with this plan?
Well, in a word, over-leverage. An investor group led by Tishman Speyer Properties, which also controls Rockefeller Center and the Chrysler Building, plumped down $5.5 billion for this in 2006. Right now, it's probably worth $2 billion. Christopher Mayer is at Columbia University Business School.
Lots of people wanted to own this complex at incredibly high prices and were willing to borrow the vast amount of the money to do it. This deal was really just the crowning jewel of the idea of taking a very large rent-controlled building and decontrolling it over time.
So the idea was you get these rent-controlled tenants out, you do fancy new upgrades, bring in new tenants at higher market rents. But a court decision made those conversions from rent control way more difficult. And then, of course, the real estate market tanked. Rents fell, and Tishman Speyer couldn't make its money back, so they've handed the keys to 11,000 apartments back to the investors and lenders who will take a bath.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman live with us. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, January 25th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Once a year, the Alpine ski resort of Davos, Switzerland, fills with presidents, prime ministers, and, of course, celebrities, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, to name a few. It's the World Economic Forum's annual meeting, so you'd expect Wall Street's top bankers to be there too, right? From London, here's Christopher Worth.
Last year, officials from top banks in the U.S. and Europe were conspicuously absent in Davos. They couldn't risk being seen living it up with Bono and Bill Clinton while cashing in on taxpayer-funded bailouts.
It's all people who are larger than life, swishing around being, you know, terribly important to one another. You come out of it, I'm told, feeling that you've been licked all over by the rich and famous.
Andrew Hilton is with the CSFI think tank. With Obama's newest proposals for changing the way banks do business, Hilton says they can't afford to miss the chance to rub shoulders with regulators and politicians.
Davos isn't just a big conference. Davos is 1,000 small meetings, most of which are informal, most of which never make it outside Davos, really.
Bankers will likely use those more casual run-ins to quietly press for regulations that are much lighter than those currently being called for. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Air America Radio officially goes off the air later today. The Liberal Talk Network helped launch Rachel Maddow and the political career of Senator Al Franken. But the network struggled financially throughout its nearly six-year run and finally decided to pull the plug. Marketplace's Amy Scott filed this report.
Broadcasting from an underground bunker 3,500 feet below Dick Cheney's bunker.
Founding Air America host Al Franken has been off the air for 3 years. Tom Hartman replaced him before taking his show elsewhere. Hartman says that was part of Air America's problem, constantly changing lineups.
Each new management wanted to put their mark on the company by changing the program lineup, which is death in radio. Stability is everything.
The latest management blamed the economy and declining ad revenue across the industry. Michael Harrison publishes Talkers magazine. He says though conservative radio is hurting too, it's been more successful. It got a big head start.
It's hard in general to get anything off the ground in radio, regardless of what your format is.
Harrison, who calls himself nonpartisan, says there is an audience for liberal commercial talk radio. He says nationally syndicated hosts like Tom Hartman are thriving without Air America. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We've been getting a bunch of bank earnings the past week or so, and it seems like some financials are right back in the green. Is this reminiscent of days gone by? Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us this morning with his take. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So let's take the calendar back and ask, what's the difference between, say, the year 2007 and today with these bank earnings?
In 2007 and today, you have record profits and huge bonuses. But in 2007, almost no one was paying attention. And today, everyone's paying attention.
Yeah, a lot of people paying attention right now on financial regulatory reforms from the president, from Congress. You think we'll see any movement on those?
Well, again, it sounds great. What impact it would have on actually changing anything. But when you come down, nothing really happens.
Aren't politicians fearful of those constituents who are saying, we want reform, we can't be bailing out big banks now?
Sure, they're fearful, and they want to be seen to be doing something. And as we know, the politicians are, of course, afraid of losing their jobs, but I think they're also afraid of the banks.
And why are they afraid of the banks, Alan?
Well, now, as of last week, now the banks can spend endless amounts of money campaigning against them.
The Supreme Court decision, right.
The Supreme Court decision. Second, if you look at the history of Washington, you discover a whole lot of people who leave public life end up connected to Washington with very lucrative jobs. And you generally don't want to annoy the people you're looking to finance the next stage of your life.
So what's the solution then? What do we do?
You separate investment banking from commercial banking. You make sure that the remaining commercial banks are not too big to fail. And you try to have a competitive system where craziness hurts people's stock prices. And this time, they may be more careful than they were 3 years ago, because that's when the seeds of destruction were sown.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
If you're a regular exerciser, don't worry. It's almost over, the month when all those New Year's resolutionaries fill up at the gym. And you can't get a machine there. But as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, the gym industry is likely to emerge from the recession in pretty decent shape.
Back in May, gym owners saw a scary headline. Crunch Fitness, a national gym operator with 73,000 members, filed for bankruptcy. But George Van Horn says that was more of a red herring than a canary in a coal mine. He's a senior analyst with Ibis World, which recently released a report on the state of the gym industry.
There have been notable bankruptcies, but when we look at total revenues, when we look at total number of establishments in business, the industry is actually showing positive growth.
In fact, he says the bankruptcies had more to do with debt loads and real estate costs than falling memberships. Crunch, for instance, signed expensive multi-year leases during the boom, so when memberships fell off slightly, the leases became too heavy to lift.
But you have seen new, smaller niche operators come in, and they certainly can take advantage of much smaller spaces at much more reasonable prices, so they have a lower overhead to have to meet every month.
One of those smaller operators is Ludlow Fitness on Manhattan's Lower East Side. Mason Goldberg started the gym 4 years ago. It's cheaper to join than the big guys, and Goldberg says that's helping him attract new members, even in a recession.
I'm growing, actually. I'm under construction for another location out in Chicago, so I think it's a good time for small business to leverage leases, and if you can manage to operate on, with affordable pricing, it seems to be the right formula.
It is for hairdresser Michelle Rutter. She says she's spending more time at the gym these days.
It's not always easy getting myself here, but once I'm here and I'm done, I feel so much better. Absolutely, it's a total stress reliever.
And that, says George Van Horn, is the trend we should focus on, an inclination towards healthy living that has only increased as the economy has suffered.
More people have placed their health club spending in a higher priority during the recession just because it not only is good for their mental health and physical health, but it's also in many cases a social outlet as well.
Even for the recently laid off, Mason Goldberg says he's got many customers who no longer work, but they still work out. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The Chicago River for its old nickname, the Stinking River. Chicago still doesn't disinfect the wastewater it dumps into it, but if it did, the city just found out it might actually be bad for the environment. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Officials say it would cost $500 million and take boatloads of electricity to disinfect the sewage, and that would create more carbon emissions. So is this a battle of clean air versus clean water?
Well, and interestingly enough, it is.
Jill Horst represents the district that oversees the city's wastewater. She says the water's already 98% clean. Making it cleaner would put out tons of greenhouse gases.
People who are living near the wastewater treatment plants where there's going to be a larger carbon footprint and perhaps additional air pollution, those people live there.
But the executive director of the Friends of the Chicago River, Margaret Frisbee, says this isn't an either-or situation. And kids boat on that river.
Because it's basically my toilet to our river on a bacterial level.
And she says the cost of cleaning the river is nothing compared to what would happen if someone falls in and gets sick. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, what is it about people punching holes in Picassos? On Friday, somebody slipped at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and fell into the work known as The Actor. That's a piece valued at more than $130 million. Now, it's being treated for a tear in the lower right corner. Just a few years ago, Vegas casino mogul Steve Wynn's elbow punctured a hole in Picasso's Le Rêve. I wonder if the works are from Picasso's black and blue period. Hey, catch us online. You can get the podcast there at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.